The reading is Psalm 119, verse 9 to 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's lovely to see you all. If you don't know me, my name is Chris Jenkins, and I'm the pastor, and I'd love to get to know you afterwards. So do keep that passage open, and let's try and understand it together with God's help. I was very blessed recently by my birthday. I turned 40. I know I don't look it, but I turned 40, and I received some lovely cards. I intend to keep them. People were very kind. Some said lovely things, others said not so lovely things. That's a joke. Imagine, however, if on receiving my cards, instead of reading them and displaying them and enjoying them, I ripped them up and threw them in the bin. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? I knew the cards came from people who loved me, and I love them. To reject their words written in the card would be to reject them. That's right, isn't it? To reject their words written in the card would be to reject them. And this is how it is with the Bible. The Bible is God's covenant message to his people. If you look at verse 1 of our psalm, God is described as Lord with capital letters. This is the covenant name for God, sometimes translated as Yahweh or Jehovah. The words for the Bible or God's word used in this psalm, for example, law, in verse 2, statutes, precepts, verse 4, and so on, these are covenant terms. In other words, God has made a promise, an agreement, a covenant, that he will be our God and we will be his people. He loves us. All of this, of course, is fulfilled in Jesus. His blood shed on the cross renews the covenant. See, if you are a Christian, you are in a rock-solid relationship with God. He is your Father. And this means Psalm 119 is a love letter to you. God is showing us how we should respond to the word. Remember, to reject his word is to reject him. To love his word is to love him. God wants us to receive this psalm as we receive birthday cards, confident of the love they convey, confident of the relationship they convey. And as we love God's word, receive God's word, trust God's word, obey God's word, as we do this, not to earn heaven, but to reflect the fact that we enjoy a covenant relationship with God. As we bring our lives under God's word, we become the people God wants us to be. So our text tonight is verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? There's a screen for it. How can a young man keep his way pure? Scholars guess that the writer of this psalm might be this young man. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. How can we be the people God is calling us to be? By obeying the Bible. Not to earn heaven, but because God has loved us in Jesus. He has brought us into the covenant. And we want to show that we love him. Don't we? We love him. We want to obey him. Now then, why does living according to God's word keep us pure? Three things to say. Because our heart is engaged, because our lips are engaged, and because Jesus is our treasure. Firstly then, because our heart is engaged. If your heart is not engaged by the Bible, you do not love Jesus. Now, in our day and age, a lot of Christianity has become very emotion-led. So it's very common now for there to be a prolonged time of singing in Christian meetings, and the songs sometimes are almost like romantic love songs. Some of us used to sing a song which said, "By your side I would stay, in your arms I would lay. Jesus, lover of my soul, nothing from you I withhold." Very emotional. Jesus is my lover. I'm in his arms. Now this, of course, is biblical. Jesus is our husband. The church is the bride of Christ. But when worship becomes overly emotional, this is a problem. How do you reconcile an intensely emotional worship experience with getting cancer, or bereavement, or poverty? In other words, how do you keep going as a Christian when you don't have the warm, fuzzy emotional experience? And because this is a problem, some Christians have moved right away from emotional engagement with Jesus. Emotions are even seen to be a bad thing. Now, here in verse 10, to seek God with all our heart doesn't mean to seek God just emotionally. It means to seek God with all that we are. The heart is the control room of the life. What we set our hearts on, we follow. So if you set your heart on money, you will seek money. If you set your heart on fame, you will seek fame. The heart is the control room. But it does include the emotions. And so the Puritans, who were the evangelicals of the 17th century, used a term called the affections. What we must do is seek God, go after God, with all our affections. That means our brains. It means our will. We decide to follow God. And it means our emotions. In other words, we take our greatest pleasure from God. Our greatest pleasure is fellowship with him, in his word, in prayer, in coming to church. We have set our affections on God. And so we love him. And when we do this, when we seek him with all our heart, our prayer is in verse 10. Do not let me stray from your commands. If I love Becca, my wife, I will want to please her. If I upset a vague acquaintance, I can cope with that. I can put it out of my mind. If I hurt a church member, I feel very bad about that, because I love the church members. If I hurt Becca, I feel dreadful. I can't get on with my work. I have to put it right. This is how it's meant to be between us and God. We seek him with all our heart. He is the one we want. We set our affections on him, and therefore we want to please him. And when we fail, we have to come to him, saying sorry and thanking him again that Jesus died for our sin. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do you do that? In the Middle Ages, in the age of chivalry, a knight would wear a token of his beloved, somewhere near his heart, so that when he took part in a joust or went into battle, he did so for the one he loved. We have a modern version of this. It's called a picture on your phone. It's great, isn't it? I can look at the one I love wherever I am. Her photograph is on my phone. It's not quite as romantic as the flower she gave me or the handkerchief she gave me. Here, God is in our heart as the one we love. He loves us. He makes a covenant relationship with us, and we love him. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart. Nobody else can see it. It is hidden. I don't look any different on the outside, but on the inside, I love God. He has my affections. How do we hide God's word in our hearts? Very simple. We read it and we memorize it. This is where setting our affections on God is more than mere emotion. We don't feel like reading the Bible sometimes, but we read it anyway. We don't feel like memorizing it, but we do it anyway. In the same way, as a husband, I might not feel like serving my family, but I must do it anyway. My affections are set on my wife and my children. And I will love them imperfectly, whether I feel emotionally warm or cold. In fact, emotions follow the will. Emotions follow the will. When we decide to love our family, we find that the warm feelings follow. They eventually return. We don't follow our emotions. They're unreliable. So to hide God's word in our hearts means to put it there via our brains, whether we feel like it or not. And the reason for this is that I might not sin against you. The reason I put the Bible into my children every morning with their breakfast is that if I do this, they will sin less. They will not be perfect. I am a sinner myself. But when we put the Bible into our brains and into our hearts, we sin less. That I might not sin against you. Living according to God's word keeps us pure, firstly, because our heart is engaged. Secondly, because our lips are engaged. Look at verses 12 and 13. When we live according to God's word, something happens to our lips. Cliff Richard says in his autobiography that before he was a Christian, he and his band, the Shadows, used to swear a lot. When he became a Christian, he stopped swearing. Look at how the psalmist uses his lips here, verse 12. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. God's decrees are his laws. And the psalmist wants to praise God. He wants to praise this law-giving God. Again, these laws, decrees, statutes are not means of our earning heaven. They're to be understood in the context of the covenant. Because God loves me, I love him. And I want to please him. I want to keep his laws. And I want to praise him. I want to bless him. I want to bless his name. This leads to holiness. If our lips are used cruelly, we will be cruel people. If our lips are used selfishly, we will be selfish people. I hate the phrase, to big myself up. I think we used to say, to show off. But now we say, I big myself up. Well, if I big myself up, I will be a show off. I'll be proud. I'll be lacking in humility. But if I use my lips to praise God, to big God up, I glorify God. I magnify God. And this makes us much more happy than showing off does. If we show off, we feel miserable. If we magnify God, we feel profoundly happy. We realize that we have used our affections wisely. So verse 13, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. This means all the instructions that come from God. God's greatest instruction is that he commands all people everywhere to repent of their sins and to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Acts 17:30. We use our lips to rehearse this truth in church. We sing about it. We engage our affections with this truth. We set our affections on Christ as our King and our Rescuer. We must do this in church, and we must do this at home. In our quiet times, we pray through the gospel. We pray through all God's instructions. And then, when we're out and about and we meet people, we recount all God's laws supremely, that he commands all people everywhere to repent and believe. When we use our lips in this way, we keep our way pure. Living according to God's word keeps us pure because our hearts, our affections are engaged, because our lips are engaged, and thirdly, because Jesus is our treasure. Verses 14 to 16. I wonder what causes you really to rejoice. When Jack walked in tonight, he said to me, it was 2-1. Arsenal won. I can relate to that. Rugby has that effect in our household. If Wales are doing well, we are happy. If Wales are doing badly, we are unhappy. We are the victims of our emotions. Very often, if something good happens to us, we feel happy. If something bad happens, we feel unhappy. We are victims of our emotions. Here, the psalmist sets his affections on God no matter what he feels like. Verse 14, I rejoice in following your statutes, your laws. The psalmist is not the victim of his emotions. He decides as an act of the will that he will rejoice in God. He will rejoice in God's laws. He has made God his treasure. See, we must make Jesus our treasure. Verse 14, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Would you rejoice if you won a million? I expect you would. Do you rejoice? Do I rejoice that Jesus is my King and that Jesus is my Savior? Do I rejoice in Jesus? Do I rejoice in His Word as in great riches? I must cultivate this joy. I must decide to rejoice. I must set my affections on Jesus. No matter what I feel like, no matter what the weather, no matter whether things are going well or badly, I must rejoice in the Word of God, in Jesus, as in great riches. He must be my treasure. So, verse 15, I meditate on your precepts. What God has said must be done. I meditate and consider your ways. This means I chew over the truth. Here's what happens to us. We feel depressed. We feel discouraged. And so, me included, very often we allow ourselves to go down an emotional hole. But if Jesus is your treasure, what you will do is take his word and turn it over in your mind. You'll keep thinking about it. It could be any verse from the Bible. So let's take John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. To meditate on this very famous verse means to do this. For God, what are you like, God? You love. For God so loved. Thank you, Lord, for your love. You love the world. That means you love me. Thank you, Lord. You gave your only Son. This is how much you love me, Lord. That whoever believes in him, Lord, I believe in you. I put my trust in you. You are good. Hallelujah. I shall not perish. I have everlasting life. This is what it means to meditate on God's word. Verse 16, I delight in your decrees. I set my affections on your decrees. Jesus is my treasure. Therefore, I love to read what he has to say. Think of the soldier in Afghanistan. At one time, soldiers read letters. Now I guess they read emails. How precious are those emails. He reads about his wife. He reads about his children. He cultivates his relationship with them through email. We delight in Jesus' decrees, Jesus' statutes, because we love Him. We want to please Him. We want to do what He says. We cultivate our relationship with Him through His decrees, through His word. We know that we're in the covenant relationship God always intended for us. He is our Father. Jesus is our King. We are His people. We know that we are loved by God. So verse 16 ends, I will not neglect your word. To neglect is to fail to care for. If I neglect my wife, I don't care about her. I don't spend time with her. I don't invest in my relationship with her. Wouldn't it be awful if that's how it was between us and Jesus? We neglect Him by neglecting His word, the Bible. We don't bother with Jesus when we don't bother with His word. If this is the case, we will not be happy Christians. We will be cold spiritually. Prayer will be boring. Serving Jesus will be a drag. But if we delight in His decrees because Jesus is our treasure, we won't neglect Him. We will love Him. We will love Him more and more as the years go by. I don't know if you've heard of the 1904 Welsh Revival. There have been a number of Christian revivals in the UK. Most famously, the Methodist Revival of the 18th century, when millions became Christians. A revival is a time when many people become Christians. It was a famous revival in Wales in 1904. And I discovered this. On December the 31st, 1903, and January the 1st, 1904, Joseph Jenkins, no relation, but a minister in New Quay, Cardiganshire, held a deeper spiritual life convention. On February the 14th, in a Sunday service in his chapel, a young woman named Florrie Evans stood to her feet and publicly confessed, I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. And when she did that, the floodgates opened. And all around her, people became Christians. And starting off in Cardiganshire, a lot of young people became Christians. And then it spread all over Wales. I wonder, could you stand up and say, I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart? Do you show that you love Him by loving His word? Are you staying pure by living according to His word? Is your heart engaged? Are your affections engaged? Are your lips engaged in praising Him? Is Jesus your treasure? Let's pray. I'm going to give you a moment to speak to God now. Maybe you haven't been reading the Bible. You haven't been showing that you love Jesus by loving His word. Why don't you say sorry now? And commit yourself to reading His word day by day. Father, we thank You that You are a speaking God. We thank You for Your word, the Bible. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit who inspired it and who opened it up to us day by day. Lord, we do love Jesus with all our heart. We want to grow in that love relationship by loving your word, by hearing you speak to us day by day, so that we may live for you. In Jesus' name.